Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. So we're waiting for Daryl. He should be logging on any minute.
I'm going to mute myself in a minute because I need to make myself some breakfast.
Okay.
Sorry, we'll
Daryl texted this morning. He was excited for the call, so he'll be on momentarily.
We're on week 3 or week 4?
Week 4. Week 4
Yay.
Of manifestation.
All right. Hang on a second.
So excited.
Yeah, this is
I'm going to mute myself for a second.
Okay, good. Okay. Go eat. Nourish.
Gratitude, the frequency of manifestation.
Yes, that's the topic this week. That's what we're going to focus on, and it's a powerful one. This is a powerful lesson.
And
it's a good wrap up for the mastery and manifestation for this month. So we are excited. So next month is the month of love, mastery and love.
Wow, Adina, you'd love that one.
So.
Yes, of course.
Yep. Everything is always right on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are you already recording?
We are recording, yep.
Okay.
So, so Daryl seems to be a few minutes delayed. So let me just do the intro here. So I invite everybody to take a deep breath with me right now, because you can only breathe in the present moment. Here's Daryl.
Here he is. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So welcome. So we're going to get started. So let's all take a deep breath together, because we can only breathe right here, right now, in the eternal now. We can't breathe in the future. We can't breathe in the past. We can only breathe right now. And this is your time. Your goals, your dreams deserve your full attention. So let's turn off all the distractions right now. Let's turn off the ringer on your phone. Close the door to the room you're sitting in. Shut off the tabs in Facebook and all of that stuff. Anything that will pull your attention. Let's shut that down, and let's bring yourself to you. We spend so much time dealing with what's coming at us that many of us spend so little time really paying attention to what's seeking to emerge and to come from and through us. Life happens through us. Life happens with us. And so we better be paying attention. So let's put our full focus here right now on you. So grab a pen and paper. Let's get ready to take some notes. So who wants to share some wins this week? It's been a good week, yes?
Yeah, it's been a very good week.
Yeah, Daryl. So you were out in Mother Nature.
Yeah, I had one of the greatest wins I've had in a long time. I was able to, since I have been able to get all this true health and everything that's come my way. Well, I was able to go to the Grand Canyon, hike the Grand Canyon, and spend hike 46 miles and do it without pain and enjoy it. And I could, while I was going, I could enjoy just singing the song many times in the garden and just enjoyed that trip so much. And there's more flowers than any time I've ever seen it. There's whole hillside just covered with flowers, blue ones, and some hillsides yellow and all. And then also because of the the situation that we have, all these blessings that we have with this true life, I was met some people there. There was one couple that was doing the same thing I was. They started a half hour after I did. about, I started about 2 o'clock in the morning. They started about 2:30 and started down the canyon from the south side there. And I was stopped just a little ways from the top on the north side and having a little break there. And they came by and so then I followed them to the top, and then they started down, and I noticed it was going fairly fast, and so I tried to stay up with them, and then they had stopped. There was some Arizona Trail hikers going across, and they wanted someone to take their picture, and so they stopped. This couple stopped to take their picture, and I went on by, and I started running or going as fast as I could down the trail pretty well, and pretty quick here they were coming behind me, and he was trying his best to catch up with me. Uh-huh. And he was going, and finally he left his wife and just ran and tried to catch me before I got to the tunnel, but I got there before him, and he couldn't believe it. He says, first thing he asked, he says, "Can I ask you how old you are?" And I told him I was 71. Well, he couldn't believe that. He says I couldn't. He couldn't believe he couldn't catch up with me. And so I sat down there to take a break, and his wife went on by, and so I told her, "Well, I've seen 32 different kind of flowers already in the canyon." Oh, she stopped and she, "Well, yeah, that she has. There has been lots." And so she came back and she said, "I want to know how old are you anyway." And so I told her, and said, "Well, how can you do that?" So, "Well, I got a couple of secrets I've learned," and so I was able to share about our life-altering device and things, and they was just all ears, and he came over, and after a bit there, and he was telling him that now I could do this, I couldn't do that before, but now I can go across the canyon, and tomorrow morning I said I'll be able to get up, and I won't even be sore, I'll be able to be ready to go. I was thinking about hiking part of the Arizona Trail. Ah, he said, he says, "You mean you're not sore now?" He was kind of leaning over, holding his legs, and he said, I'm just hurting so bad. I'm so sore." And he said he couldn't believe it. So I had a really good visit with them and got their information and sent them information. So we'll be in touch. I'm sure that they'll be wanting to get them a device. So, but there's nice. Others too. There's 10 others that were started down later and hiking. We're going across, then doing the same thing in Triple Rimmer. And caught up with them, or they caught up with me about the same time there at the last. But then I was so impressed how that they didn't have that. They was having to deal with all that soreness and hurting and pain and not knowing how they, well, some of them, I don't know when they got up. They got back to the South Rim because I was ahead of all of them but six, I think.
Wow. I love it.
So that was one of my wins. I had a couple others, and they could, yesterday after a year, there was one of a Joel man come by my deal machine booth, and he said, "I've been trying everything. Tried everything else. In fact, he got him a distiller, nothing seemed to work." And he says, "I'm thinking this water might be the answer." "Does it work? And how does it work?" And everything. Of course, I've explained this to him. This is probably about my sixth contact with him, and through the last year, Anyway, I did the strength test with him, and that was, he just stood there in awe. He said, "I can't believe it." He said, "That makes so much difference that fast. How is that possible?" and did both of the strength tests with him, and he had a shoulder that was hurting him, and so I was able to, he's drinking that water, I'm ready, I need a machine. I took down his order yesterday, so that was a real win.
Yay.
Nice. Congratulations.
You're attracting the people to you because you're on a different frequency, Daryl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had another lady that came, though. It was a little different. She's been coming by, and I helped her here just a while back. Got her machine. She hadn't been using it, I cleaned her machine, and then she comes by yesterday and says, I got some news, not really good news, but her multiple myeloma had flared up, and she started taking chemo, So I was able to go to her house and teach her how to use the 11-5 and get her started on that, and told her how the doctors had worked with that, and how I had one man here that had multiple myeloma, and I got him going to where he drank straight 11-5, and his count started coming down. That's been about 4 years now, and so I had something. I had a solution for her problem. That was so great. I mean, there had something I could offer. Something to help her.
Yes. So, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. It was.
It's so cool when you're actually living that life. You're living that dream, right? Because this is what you had envisioned, right, all along. And it's just amazing. And I mean, you're a living testament. You're a living example of that, you know. You're stepping into it. I mean, there's no way I would have kept up with you on those trails. So when we do come out and do that with you, I think I'm going to have to train for a few months to keep up with you, just even walking.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah, and another real win I got to share, that I was on our track route here just a couple of weeks ago, and we stopped in Dimming at a laundromat, and I was talking to this man there. I've visited with him off and on through the years and all, but he's retired now, and so I asked him, well, how's it going? How's life and everything going? And he said, well, it's all pretty good except for the pain. He says, I have knees. My knees are, I can't walk now. I want to, now we retired and everything, and now I can't hike. I can't go. And I think I told you about that one. That win, but anyway, he couldn't go now hiking and things, and they wanted to go travel and do things, and he's having so much pain, and so then he started drinking the water. I did the test with him. He was really surprised, the strength test and all, and then he had his shoulder. He drank 3 glasses of water, and in a half hour or so there, and so he lifted his shoulder and his arm, and he says, wow, he says, my pain is gone. He says, I've been in pain for 3 years, or for several years already, and this constant with my shoulder. And he says, it took it away. He couldn't believe it. He says, so I gave him water, and then came back the next day and gave him some more, and he was still free of pain. That was an awesome win.
That is an awesome win. That is an awesome win. That is so cool. This is the work.
Wow.
This is the life.
So
it's good for you. Congratulations. It's the way it's supposed to be, right? It's the way it's
right.
Yes, ease and flow, ease and flow.
Yep, ease and flow. And then you go from step to step, blessing to blessing in the glory. More abundant life. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's amazing. We love that. So it's definitely in my vision to come, you know, do the Triple Rimmer with you. So I better start training now. I really, and drinking more water. That's for sure. To keep
you do that.
Very good. So anybody else have a win they want to share before we jump into this week? So we, you know, last week the kids were on spring break. And we spent a lot of time with them, you know, through Easter, and then Thursday night we got a call from an old friend of ours. It's a Chinese doctor. We've known her for 18 years, and she called up. She's going, "We're coming to I'm coming to New Jersey. You come pick me up tomorrow." And I was like, "Okay." And she stayed the weekend. And what was really nice is on Mondays, you know, we went to an Asian market. We got some supplies and stuff, and then we had, you know, the kids were over, and Gavin's girlfriend, and we were all together, you know, me, Caroline, Adina, the kids, even a friend, a young man who's helping us with our websites, and Dr. Wong just started making dumplings, and we started cooking, and everybody was, and it was such a nice gathering. Being in the kitchen, being in the center of nutrition, being in the center of nurturing. And this is, you know, this is what I want. This is what, you know, I want people to gather. I want people to enjoy themselves, nurture, you know, body, mind, and spirit. So that was definitely a win for us, win for me. And we want to continue that. So, anybody else?
Well, I was going to say that, first of all, it was wonderful to see Dr. Wong again and to connect with her. And that was a magical moment, and I'd love to have many more of those. Absolutely. That's the kind of world I want to create as well. Lots of children around, lots of laughter. But I also was just really happy and excited to meet Jack, the young man who's designing my website, and that we had a two-hour meeting. So we actually got started, and he loved my ideas, and so that's a very big step for me, putting myself into the world, putting myself out into the world as a writer, and heading in the direction I want to be heading. And the moment I met Jack, I was like, ah, I'm going to adopt him. He's going to be another child, another son, and so that was great.
Yeah, he is a sweetheart. He is a sweetheart. So it's interesting because, you know, when we start to vibrate, we become that person who is living that life. We start to attract more people of that same, you know, in that same space. And I think Jack is definitely one of those people.
Yeah.
He's so smart. He's wise beyond his years. He's only 16, but he seemed very wise beyond his years.
Right.
So, and Jack is from China. You know, his family is still over there. He's got a host family here.
We met him at our church.
Yeah, we met him at our church, and just an amazing human being, and very smart and knowledgeable.
He's
so,
also designing our website.
Yeah, so we're working with him as well. So great wins, great, you know, this is how life is supposed to unfold. This is how life, you know, living life more abundantly, it's not just money, it's full-spectrum wealth. So in our happiness, in our health, in our time and money freedom, what we do with our time. So this is a perfect example. We all experience that, and that's the way life should be unfolding, and we create that by the thoughts that we have, by holding that image, by living a vision-driven life and not, you know, living by circumstances. So I would say it's unconditional living, because we're not living by condition. We're living unconditionally. So it's a beautiful thing. So last week, I know, you know, Daryl, you weren't here, but we did record it, so hopefully you were able to get to that. If not, I can help you with that after. So last week, the topic was increasing your effectiveness in manifestation. So we're in the month of manifestation. We're in week four, and we talked about four steps to increase your effectiveness in manifestation. So what do you want to manifest in your life? And the four things, so first thing were role models. Find yourself a role model who is demonstrating the life you want to be living. You know, one who is already successful in creating the life you want to create. Success becomes assumed. So it's like, you know, people have anointings, they have gifts. And so they're vibrating at a certain frequency. And so it's like they have this tuning fork inside them, and they have the success in this part of their life, and it's something that you want to be resonant with. And so they're vibrating at that frequency. So when you're with those people, your tuning fork can become entrained with them. You can assume their success. And you're not taking away from them, just like a tuning fork is not taking away from the vibration of another tuning fork. It's just vibrating on its own. And keeping in mind, if they can do it, I can do it. So high tide raises all boats. So if they can do it, I can do it, and celebrate that it does exist. We see it exist, and we hold that. So role models, that's one of the steps. The second one we talked about is verbal supporters, surrounding yourself with people who will verbally support you in your dream. And I had talked about my maternal grandmother. She was one of those verbal supporters for me. You know, her motto was like, how do you know you don't like something or you like something if you don't try it? So she was always supportive and always encouraged me to just be curious, to try things, to test things, see how it is, see how you feel. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. Then at least you know. If it doesn't, you know, sit well with you, then try something else. And so having those verbal supporters, people that's like when we learn to walk, you know, the people around us were like, come on, you could do this. I know you could do it. And then you get wobbly, you fall down, and, you know, you get back up again. You have those verbal supporters. So we all need those in life. So that will also help you increase your effectiveness in manifestation. The third one was relaxation and stress reduction techniques. So we all know the effects of stress on our bodies, you know, whether it's mental stress, physical stress, spiritual stress. So, you know, we focused on the breath because I talked about the breath. The word for inhale is inspiration, in spiritu. So we are spiritual beings. So every time we take a breath, and we can't control our breath. This is the power that's within us, is breathing us. You know, it's not something we have to think about. When you go to sleep, you don't say, okay, just remember to breathe 6 times a minute or 5 times a minute. No, you don't have to do that. There's a power inside you that's beating your heart. There's a power that's inside you that's breathing you. And so if we focus on our breath, we use our breath, we use exercise, we use meditation to move stress out of the body and invite relaxation in. And so we want to keep, you know, like through dream building, it's like it's clearing that field. We want to keep that field clear and clean, free of toxins, free of stress. And so relaxation and stress reduction techniques is definitely a step in helping you to increase your effectiveness in manifestation. And then the fourth step we talked about is mastery experiences. So that's why, you know, when we start these calls, we always celebrate the wins, no matter how small they are, no matter how big they are, because we want to give ourselves wins. We want to acknowledge the baby steps. You know, just like, you know, Daryl just did a triple rimmer. How many steps did it take to do that whole, to do 46 miles? One step at a time. Sometimes the pace was faster, sometimes that pace was slower, but it's baby steps, one step at a time. And what I learned through this whole thing, especially the way I grew up, is that mastery isn't in doing it perfectly. The mastery is in the showing up. It's just the showing up, is doing it consistently, doing it wobbly, doing it afraid, is just showing up. You don't have to be perfect. So that was a big lesson for myself, because I was like, oh, it has to be good, it has to be perfect, it has to be, you know, it's good to strive for perfection, but mastery isn't in doing it perfectly. The mastery is in the showing up. And so we show up. And that's why we create that magnetic field around us, and people, things, places, opportunities, ideas, love, finances, they all start to attract to us. And so we're moving in the direction of our dream, but as we start to build this field around us, our dream is actually moving toward us as well. So those are the four steps that we talked about. The life work this week, and I had invited you to implement at least one, if not all, but at least one of the self-efficacy techniques. So, you know, what, you know, who wants to share, if anybody wants to share, what did you implement and what was your experience with that? Did anybody, you know, play around with that? I mean, I know, you know, I meditate, I do relaxation, you know, techniques, and I definitely focus for myself, I focused on that. Just being in the present now, being in the eternal now. Focusing on my breath, you know, being in this thinking stuff, being in God's mind. So I know I focused on that. I really focused on that this week. So who wants to share? Anybody else had implemented any of these steps?
I mean, I think I might have a little bit. I sometimes forget to do the homework. I need to write it down. But
also in the emails. So check the emails because
yes.
The email goes out.
I have been changing my relationship to food, and so when I eat, to like really be paying attention and enjoying it and focusing on it and making much healthier choices. And if I'm going to eat like a piece of chocolate, then I just like really enjoy that piece of chocolate and then that's it. I let it go. So psychologically, I've been trying to shift the way I focus on food.
Yeah, that's good. That is really good. So, you know, like in the Buddhist tradition, they have something that's called mindfulness, being mindful. So when you eat,
mm-hmm.
it's like enjoying every bite, experiencing, because that's part of the eternal now. So
right.
being grateful, being mindful of every bite, as opposed to like today, it's like we're so distracted and we're just like wolfing down our food, which is not healthy. We know biologically, physically, it's not healthy. And it does, I mean, just being mindful changes that relationship to the food, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Slowing that down. And I remember I had a teacher years ago, Ohashi, when I was studying shiatsu. And he would ask different people this and that. And there was one gentleman in the class, and he admitted he was a smoker. And, you know, and here we're like, you know, studying body work and it's like in health and all of this. And I never forget this because I thought, you know, Ohashi was going to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. It's not good for your health. He said, as long as you're enjoying the cigarettes, smoke. But if you're smoking and then worrying about your health and worrying about, you know, this is not a good thing, he said, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But he said, if you're going to be in the present moment, enjoy it. And I thought that was so profound because he didn't go, you should do that. He said, if that's a choice that you make, then enjoy it. You know, don't have the guilt and the, you know, the shame and all of that other stuff that could be surrounding that. And I thought that was such a profound thing, and that's exactly what you're talking about, Adina, is being mindful, because, again, if we're living a vision-driven life and we have this feeling tone in that vision, the feeling tone is so important. And so if you're doing something like smoking, and you're doing it with a feeling tone that has guilt or shame or you know this is not good for you, well, you're going to manifest more of that. You're going to manifest more of that. So, well, good for you.
Thank
you. Good. Good. Caroline, did you practice?
Yeah, I was going to say my life coach as well teaches that about the relationship with food and you know, enjoying it and, you know, sending love and positive energy, even if it's something you know that isn't serving you. But if you're thinking that, okay, I'm eating this, but it's bad, then of course it's going to be bad, right? It's not going to serve you. But if
yeah.
you are going to have it, just give it the love and positive energy. And it really does make a difference because I have been practicing that myself. And also, yeah, I've been doing more meditating and relaxing in the morning and the evenings before I go to sleep, and it really does help shift the mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
Before those paradigms kick in. You know, if you can do that before, you know, the train pulls out of the station and those negative thoughts come up, it really does shift the mindset a lot. So that's really been helping me, you know, this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, and focusing on the breath, meditation, it's a great
right.
transition. So like waking up, so you're transitioning from sleep to waking life. It's
yeah.
always good.
I go right into it's gratitude.
A good time to pause,
yeah.
right, to be in gratitude.
Yeah.
And the same thing,
yeah.
it's like you had this busy day, you're interacting with other people and things, and it's a nice transition into quieting things down, clearing out. It's like we shower or bathe every day. So it's almost like a spiritual energetic bathing, just clearing that out.
Exactly.
Say, okay, I'm not going to bring this dirt to bed with me. You know, I'm not going to bring this garbage that's floating around. Clear that energy out. So that's good. That's really
I have to
good.
Say something funny, though, that in terms of my relationship to food, is that I woke up this morning, I was dreaming that I was making chicken soup in very detail. Like, I was really making the soup. It was a great dream.
You woke up and you're like, is it ready?
Exactly. You know, I was really in the process and enjoying the nurturing process of making chicken soup from scratch. So I am going to make chicken soup today. I think Eliana will be very excited.
So what is your subconscious mind telling you? So there's some kind of nurturing there, and it's the process.
Exactly.
You know, and there's another thing too. It's like, you know, going back to mindfulness. It's like, you know, we go and sometimes we'll enjoy making a food or going to a restaurant, enjoying a meal, or even making food at home. But is that the full experience? You know, Daryl might be able to relate to this. Like, if you grow the food, if you raise the chicken, let's say, and you grow the vegetables in the garden and nurture it and see that come to life, and then you're using those ingredients, and then you go and you prepare it, you bless it, and you prepare it, and then those ingredients go into the meal, and then you sit and enjoy the meal. I mean, that's a full spectrum experience with that. And I think sometimes we get disconnected from that. You know, we go to the supermarket and something's wrapped in plastic, or you buy something in a can, or even if it's in the produce department, it's like, well, where did that come from? You know, what was that journey? Who are the people that nurtured this? You know, we take a lot of things for granted, and that's part of the gratitude, mindfulness, is being in gratitude for all of this, how things are delivered, and who are the people that helped with that? And so it's a full spectrum gratitude, full spectrum mindfulness. So it's good. It's almost the same. I heard it compared to the same thing when you're in your spiritual life. You know, there are some biblical scholars, let's say, and that's all they do is they just study the word. They study the word, but until you live that life, you live the principles, just like we're learning here, is we're living these principles. You could study it and have great book knowledge, but until you apply it to your life, you don't have full spectrum experience and full spectrum life. And so it's interesting to really learn that, because we know a lot of people that are smart, they're book smart, but there are things in their life are just not in balance, because they're not applying the principles that they have in their minds, but they're not applying them to their life. So, interesting stuff. The other life work was to describe and then implement your ideal day. And I hope you had fun with this one. So, what was your ideal day? So, what we talked about is that your ideal life is just the stringing together of ideal days. And then ideal days are just stringing together ideal moments. And so, visioning out what an ideal day would be for you in the life you would love living, and then going out and actually saying, okay, I'm going to live that day today. And sometimes with our busy lives, it's not as easy to do that. But like I said, you could string together moments. So like what I described earlier, the several hours that we spent, or half the day, buying ingredients and then, making the dumplings and then enjoying the dumplings and enjoying each other, that was an ideal moment. And so I hold that vibration. I hold that memory. And I said, I want more of this. I want to string together these ideal moments more and more and more. And then, looking for those moments in all areas, every domain of life, and then start to string them together. And those events, those happenings start to become closer and closer together, and then it becomes a seamless, ideal life. So anybody want to share their experience with that?
First, back on the other there, I've been working on the on that breathing and also the yoga that what you suggested that
the Makaho's, the stretching,
the Makaho, and
yeah,
and then that's been a enjoyable, and the relaxing stretching and all of that, and then also on the meditation or whatever, I guess the most was like I just become more and more aware. Like when I was hiking in the canyon there, I just many times over, I would just go over that song and just in first person, Lord, I'm walking in the garden with you now, and Lord, now I'm talking. I want to talk with you, and then I would just spend time in talking with Him, and that's been the last week. It's been more and more time doing that, or just making that more real and thinking about it through the days and just bringing it to pass. But then on the ideal day, start out the other one as I start out with gratitude prayer or gratitude and thank the Lord for at least, well, I try to do at least five things, but three to five, but before I go to sleep and then the first thing in the morning. And it was interesting. I got up this morning and I got in here to study and things were cooking. All of a sudden I realized, hey, you know, I slipped out of the room there trying not to wake my wife up, and I didn't take time to pray and tell all the gratitude. Well, that was a real, you know, good time then again to spend together and sharing with the Lord and gratitude and thanksgiving. So that my ideal day is, as I pick that one as today, even I want to sing and pray and read the Bible and read some of the school. We're doing school work, I mean books for school, proofreading books and things like that. And my wife goes to work at a once a week at a coffee shop. And so I want to go there for lunch and together with her, and want to go for a little hike up the mountains and be able to do some studying and different things there. And I want to be able to go to the town here and realize another one of my passions and do a little track work and then celebrate in the evening at the China Bistro, have a meal there and celebrate our wins and thought it's going to be a really, really great day.
Yes. And it's so beautiful because throughout that whole day was gratitude, was thanksgiving, was just being in closer proximity with God. I love that. That sounds like a beautiful day.
It brought tears to my eyes, Daryl.
Yeah,
you know, I'm also thinking I'm living today one of my ideal days. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up thinking about chicken soup. And if I slept really well and I felt grateful and blessed, and I still do, and I'm blessed and grateful to be on this call and to have such wonderful people in my life. And yes. Today am hosting a celebration. I have 9 women coming over this evening to celebrate my next-door neighbor, who's become a very dear friend, and she's having a baby in a few weeks. And we are having our version of a baby shower. It's not about gifts, and it's not about stuff. It's about celebrating the mommy and the baby. And we're all everybody's bringing food, and we're going to gather in my home and have a wonderful day and wonderful evening. And most of these women I don't actually know yet, though I do know a few of them, and I'm just very excited. And so I've been up since early cleaning and going through boxes and putting things in the attic to make things neater, so that this will be the perfect environment for when everyone walks in.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So again, it's like what's inside you is setting the tone, setting the environment, right? That's
mm-hmm.
beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
So good, good. Wow, enjoy that. Enjoy
Thank
that.
Thank you, I'm excited.
And give Kat our love.
I will.
And congratulations.
Yeah, last night was her last night singing, until after the baby.
Wow.
Yeah, she's
beautiful.
All right.
Beautiful. And so this is really going to segue really nicely into this week's, the focus of this week, gratitude. Gratitude is the frequency of manifestation. So this week, as we conclude our month in mastery and manifestation, this is week four, we focus on the practice of gratitude. And I think we're already doing that. But let's go deeper into it. So that is learning to walk through the world in such a way that we run the frequency of gratitude through our mind, through our hearts, through our beings, through our bodies. Gratitude places us in a state of expectancy. Gratitude is the basis of faith. Wallace Wattles wrote in The Science of Getting Rich, he said, "The grateful mind is constantly fixed on the best, therefore it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best." So gratitude is a powerful component in mastery and manifestation. And so we're going to look at 3 points about gratitude. First of all, gratitude frequency is harmonious with abundance. Gratitude is harmonious with abundance. It's with love. It's if you think about it, it is the vibration of God. It's just gratitude. It's being thankful. And you have to realize that your essence never changes. We are a spiritual being having a human experience. Our spiritual DNA, because of where we come from, is perfect. So our essence never changes. So we will never be more or less abundant than right now. And the gap between who we are in essence and who we are in expressed experience has to do with our thinking and beliefs. So let me say that again, because when I first studied this was so profound for me. So the gap between who we are in essence and our spiritual essence and who we are in expressed experience. So think about that. Expressed experience. Life is expressing through us. So expressed experience has to do with our thinking and belief. We are an intermediary between God and the physical world. It comes through us. So our source, where we come from, is perfect. And life happens through us. We are the intermediary. So there's a gap between our essence and our expressed experience. And with gratitude, we become beacons for abundance. So we talk about that magnetic field, being in gratitude, being that person of increase, having that frequency around us. We become beacons for abundance. It starts to just start to come to us. It starts to flow through us. We become beacons to everything that is harmonious with the wavelength we're tuned to. So, like that analogy, just like your television. Your television is tuned to the frequency on your remote control. So your life tunes to the frequency you're holding. So it doesn't matter if the frequency that you've been tuned to your life is lack or, self-worth or, having doubts and fear. It doesn't matter. That's the frequency. Doesn't matter where you came from, because you have the ability to change, push the button on your remote, change the frequency to abundance, change the frequency to gratitude. So gratitude frequency is harmonious with abundance. That's the first thing. Now, the other thing is, if you want abundance, don't go looking for it. Come from it. So the same way as when we do our vision work, we're coming from our vision. We are the person in the vision. We are the person living the life we would love to live. And you can have anything you're willing to become. So in life, you don't get what you want. You don't get what you need. You get who you are. So if you're that person that's focusing on the lack of finances and you got the bills piling up, that's who you are. But the truth of the matter, the truth behind those appearances is that we are abundance. We come from abundance. We live in an abundance world, and we serve a God that is all-encompassing. So we know that if we put our money in high-interest bank accounts, it will appreciate. We know that. So put your thoughts in places that bear interest. Put your focus and attention. Put your thoughts on in places that bear interest, in the gratitude, in the truth that there is abundant health, in the truth that there is abundant finances, and there is abundant love. There is abundant freedom. So don't go looking for it. Come from it. Become it. And even if, you know, again, in the face of circumstances, in the face of appearances, hold the vision of the truth. Hold that frequency, hold that vibration. And so you want to come from it. And the last point we'll open up for discussion is that there's, well, let me see how that landed first before we go into the next section. So how did that land for everybody? So gratitude frequency is harmonious with abundance, and we want to come from that. We don't want to go looking for it. You know, because oftentimes in our physical world, and we see that, you know, in our own experience, but we see that in people around us, they're seeking something outside of themselves. You know, it's like, oh, if I buy this thing, if I have more of this, if I have this, it's going to fill that need that I have. It's going to, and it often doesn't work, is what happens. You get that thing, and that void is still there, that hole is still there. So you can't go looking for it. You have to come from it. So how did that land for everybody?
Well, I was trying to figure out how to do it. I had the last few days and all, I just went over and over again. How do I come from abundance? I have these, all of a sudden, these debts, these bills come and due, or whatever. I'm not supposed to say debts. That's right. these things that I have to meet, and the money didn't come in like I was just sure it would. But it didn't, and so I had to borrow some more money. Well, I said, that's not right. So where did I not come from abundance? So I went looking for it.
So you went looking for it. So let's use another.
I'm still trying to find it. And so I said, right. No, that's not right. I need to come from it, but how do I do it?
Okay, so let's use another example where you are coming from it in your life. Because you just described... You described an ideal day. You described your experiences in the Grand Canyon. You were coming from it during those times. You were coming from abundance. You were coming from love. You were coming from optimal health. And by coming from that, you met people that want what you have. They want that abundance in their life. So you told them about the water, and they're interested in the water. You know, you were at the farmer's market, and this guy, you know, he's it's like the sixth exposure, and over the past year, he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it my way, and he goes out and tries different things, and no, it's not working. But you came from abundance. You came from abundant health. You came from those choices that you made that the Lord put on your heart, and you're living that truth. So that's how you come from abundance. Now, with the money thing, and I know it's a big one for a lot of people. You know, how do I manifest the money? Money is an energy. Money is a circulation. Money is not the end goal. It's what you do with it. So if you vision a life, right now, if you're focused on, I need money to pay my bills, well, guess what? You're going to get more of that. So money is a result of living an abundant life. It's what you do with it. And so if you had the money, let's say you were living that abundant life, in that part of your life is abundant, the money was flowing, you wouldn't be focused on the money. You would be focused on the freedom that the money brings you. And so how do you do that? You focus on the freedom. What would the freedoms that money would give you, that if you had that abundant flow coming through, what would that freedom look like? What would that feel like? How would that enhance the relationships that you have with people around you, in your church, in your family, in your friends? What freedom would that give you as far as removing a layer of stress out of your life? So by focusing on that, you're going to get more of that. And again, see those things that are not as though they are. That's what Jesus taught us, right? you know, so you have to focus on what it is. You have to focus on the end, the Alpha Omega. You have to focus. The end is in the beginning, or the you know, you have to see. It's the essence of a vision-driven life. And so what I'm just going to say is take the focus off the money or the lack of. You say, oh, I have to. It's like, okay, you have to do what you have to do. You had to borrow some more money. Okay, it hasn't manifested yet. But let me change the focus. Where are you putting your attention? If you had $20,000 flowing in per month, what would that life look like? What would you feel like? What would it be like? That's what you focus on. And I just want to also just point out is you're already doing that in other areas. You're already doing that. You're living optimal health. And by doing that, you're demonstrating to other people. You're that person of increase. And those folks that you met, the couple that you met on the trail, they see that. They felt that. Again, the guy at the farmer's market, he sees that. He feels that vibration in you. He feels that magnetic pull. And you've had many other stories that you've shared with us and with me that you're already doing that. And so all you need to do is just do more of that. Stay on the vision. Stay on that. And Wallace Wattles talks about that in his books. He said, it is some of the hardest work that a human being will ever do is to have continuous thought on the vision, the thing that we want, and to hold that thought and hold that feeling tone. Because it's so easy to get pulled into the circumstances. It's so easy to say, oh, I see the appearance of lack of money. It's so easy to be tuned to that because our eyes are seeing that. We see that. We see what's in our checkbook. So it's some of the hardest work is to focus on, no, what is the truth? The truth is abundance. And what does abundance feel like to me? So the other day, I feel the same thing. I get the pull into that. So then I said, okay, let me focus on something. Let's say I was handed $80 million. I'm just going to go big. I'm going to go big or go home. So somebody handed me $80 million. What would I do with that? What would that feel like? And I just did this whole visualization on what that would be. So 10% of $80 million is $8 million. Where would I tithe that? Where would I tithe that right off the top? And then what would I do? And who would I help? And who would I become? Who would I be with that? With that level of abundance? With that level of financial awareness? So it's focusing on that and keep going back, keep going back, keep going back and stepping into that as often as you can, no matter what the circumstances are telling you. Because it's easy. Circumstances are easy to focus on because we see it. We say, all right, I'm still going to be responsible and take care of what I need to take care of, but I'm going to stay with the vision. I'm going to stay with that vision. And you are doing it. And we see the fruits of those seeds. We see the fruits of that labor that's happening, but stay in it. Stay in it as even more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you are doing it. I mean, you know, I'm very proud of the work that you've done. I'm very proud of you are living these principles, you know, and you see the fruits of that. And I could hear it in your voice. I can hear the love and the joy coming off of you. The excitement that you had, the thrill of going to the canyon. And then even when you texted me this morning, I felt that energy come through a text, through the, you know, it was just a text, but I felt that love, that you know, that abundance come through it. And I think, you know, I think everybody would agree with me that we hear it in your voice. We hear it come from your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know? So you're already doing it. So just like, you know, if we had to update the operating system on our computer, you know, somebody could do that within an hour or so, a couple hours. But the operating system in a human being takes longer. It takes longer. You know, you're 71. You had, you know, many, many years of operating in a certain frequency, in a certain way, in relation to financial abundance, let's say. And so now you're learning to change that frequency, and you're doing it. And we see the fruits of that. Just keep doing more. Keep doing more. Trust the process. Keep leaning into it. You know, I know you're intuitive. I know how deep your faith is. You know, you keep saying to that mountain, be removed, because it's the strength of that faith. It's the strength of that, trusting that process, you know. And your faith is much bigger than the mustard seeds. I know that. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep coming from it, because you are coming from it. And then don't get caught up. Don't get caught up and say, oh, look over here. Look what the, you know, the checking account says. No. Okay, you just take care of what you need to take care of. That's just appearances. That's just circumstance. I'm going to keep focusing in on the vision. See those things that are not as though they are. All right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so the last part here is that there are actually two types of gratitude. Two types of gratitude. So the first type is gratitude for. So we are grateful, to be grateful for the things we have. Health, house, friends, job, partner. So grateful for. And, you know, even Daryl's already talking about that. It's like keeping a gratitude journal. And we've talked about this before. You know, keep a gratitude journal for 30 days. You know, do it as an experiment for 30 days. Write at least 5 things you're grateful for each morning. You can't repeat. Just write it down in a journal. And really focus, really feel the gratitude for those things. And then at night, review your list and then add any others you'd like, any others that come to mind. Because I think, you know, living in the United States, in, you know, one of the most abundant countries or the most abundant country in the world, I think we take for granted a lot of things that we have, you know, like running water, like clean air, you know the houses we live in, the roof over our head, the clothes we have, the food we eat. And so to be grateful, and I always suggest, you know, I was given this advice when I was younger, and, you know, with our children, we also say the same thing. And they've had that experience. Go to another country and experience different cultures. Not to judge it, but just to experience it. Because when you step out of your first world bubble, you really start to appreciate what you have. I remember a story that, you know, when the Berlin Wall came down and, you know, an East Berliner come across. And I think Adina actually wrote about this, or a similar story, to see a fruit cart for the first time in your life and to see the abundant colors and to smell and to taste the abundance, even in a simple fruit cart, when you're going from a black and white and gray world into a world of technicolor, we step into that gratitude. So grateful for the things that we have in our lives. So that's the first type of gratitude, is grateful for. And by keeping the journal and really just focusing on those things that we may be taking for granted, this repatterns your thoughts and the frequency you're holding. And so again, it's easier for us to step into gratitude. And I also, like, you know, to be honest, it's like when I do my vision work, sometimes I struggle with that feeling tone. I could see it visually, the things, you know, in my vision, but sometimes I don't always have that feeling tone. And what I've been discovering lately is that if I first step into gratitude and just start simple things, what am I grateful for, and really feel the gratitude, it's much easier than to transition into the feeling tone of my vision.
Yeah, same with me, Carl. Remember I had said to you I was struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
So fully, you know,
to go right into it.
Yeah. Right into it. And then you feel, because if you really think about it, that feeling tone, the base of it is gratitude anyway. It's gratitude, again, a gratitude, I always say this, gratitude, abundance, love is the same frequency as God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's life itself. And that's the source we come from. So if we can be in attune with that, in that same vibration as that, we get more of that. We come closer to the source. So that's gratitude for. So the second type of gratitude was exemplified in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a student of the teachings of Jesus, and because of that, he was tortured and he was put into a Roman prison. Now, a Roman prison is not like the prisons of today. So, you know, it was a dark, dank, horrible, disease-infested, rat-infested, bug-infested place. Again, not anything like our prisons today. And he wrote, he said, "I have learned this one thing at least, that in whatever condition I find myself, therein to be grateful." Now, he didn't say therefore to be so grateful for. He said therein to be grateful. And it was very, very carefully constructed, that sentence. He said therein because of what it does for him. So when we let ourselves feel grateful in all things, we create a generative gratitude, and it changes us. It changes our awareness, and it changes our experience. And so when I do my meditation and I'm struggling with the feeling tone of my vision, I start with the grateful for, but then I step into grateful in. And it's such a much deeper and much more profound experience. So gratitude in all things, regardless of our circumstances. So this is unconditional gratitude. So not based on condition, unconditional. It has nothing to do with the circumstances we're in. And so Paul demonstrated that for us. I mean, he was in pain, he was tortured, he was in this horrible place. And yet, from prison, he was still teaching, writing his letters and sending it out and say, listen, there are still things to therefore be grateful in. Therein to be grateful. So whatever experience you're having, bless it. And this requires a deeper and stronger spiritual skill. It takes you deep. It does take you deep. You know, and finding a gratitude partner can help you find the good in all situations and circumstances. So I encourage you to find a great gratitude partner. Right?
Carl, this brings to mind something that I wanted to share with the group. Oh, geez. The phone is ringing. I will ignore it. But last week at the Seder with Sophia,
mm-hmm.
her rabbi quoted the great philosopher, whose name I can't remember right now, who wrote In Search of Meaning, and he was a Holocaust survivor. Hang on a second. Let me just get away from the phone. Sorry. And he said, you know, that during the Holocaust, while he was in a concentration camp, and he was, you know, tortured and threatened with death every day, and he said, "They can take everything away from me except my relationship with God. It can take away everything from me except what's in my mind, what I choose to think." And so he chose to think, to see the sun. He chose to see any little thing that gave him hope and gratitude to keep him alive. And then he went on to write a whole book of philosophy about it, about the one thing they can't take away from you.
Yeah, Man's Search for Learning. It's Viktor Frankl.
Viktor Frankl, very good.
Yeah, and there was this particular moment that he describes where, you know, he had written a manuscript. You know, his family was already gone. His wife was already gone. He had written this manuscript. And then he was also, again, brought in front of, you know, his torturers. And they burned his manuscript in front of him. And it was like one of the, you know, they already took everything away from him. And he still had his wedding ring. And they demanded it of him. And he said it was the last, so it was almost like that defining moment where he took it off. And he said something, I'm going to paraphrase, something that you can take my family, you can take my manuscript, you can take the last vestige, my wedding ring, but you can't you can't make me hate you.
Right.
Powerful. You can't make me not see the sunshine. You can't make me not see the beauty of life. You can't take that away from me. You can torture me. You can harm me. You can take everything away from me, but you can't make me hate you. That's gratitude in.
That's powerful.
That's gratitude in. And it's the same what Paul was experiencing as well. And to be at that level, I mean, we don't wish anything like that on anybody, but we wish the lessons that are learned from it on everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's how we respond, right? Not react.
It's how we respond. It's like, you know, it's God first, right? God above everything else, and it's our connection to that source, to Him, to life itself. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, is like to be grateful in all things. To be grateful in all things. I mean, there's no way we can imagine what Viktor Frankl was experiencing.
Right.
But in that moment, right? I mean, Gandhi talks about that too. You know, Gandhi talked about that when he was a lawyer, and he was sitting in a first-class train traveling in a suit, three-piece suit, dressed, and he was thrown off the train because they wanted to move him to third class because of the color of his skin. And he refused. He said, "No, I have every right to be here. I have a first-class ticket. I'm a lawyer." And they literally threw him, physically threw him off the train into the dirt, into the dust. And he said that was a moment of truth for him. He said he stood up. Yeah, he could have been angry. He could have been raging. But he stood up. He dusted he brushed the dust off, and he said, "This is not going to change me."
Yeah. And if I could just share a story with the group here. So this past couple of weeks, I have been dealing with a health issue and waiting on. I had blood work a couple of times, and I just had it for the third time. My liver enzymes were raised. And first, my reaction was fear. And I know that that's not what I'm supposed to do. It's like everything went out of my head, all my knowledge and wisdom. So it was Friday morning. It was Resurrection Day. And I woke up and I opened my eyes and I said, "Nope, nope, nope. It isn't anything until I call it, period. That's it. I am making a decision. This is Resurrection Day. I'm giving all of this over to Jesus. He's taking it to the cross, and I am deciding, I am choosing, I am claiming to not react. I'm going to respond in the way of truth, love, radiance, light, health, peace, love, joy, Jesus. That's what I'm going to focus on. I am standing in the truth, I'm standing on the word of God, and I'm standing in health, in abundance, in love and joy, all of that. And I had to make that decision, and it was a big shift inside of me. And even though those thoughts, that, you know, at night when you're falling asleep and, you know, you're in this positive vibration and giving thanks and gratitude, and those thoughts creep in, nope, I have to go right back, because as a human being, our first reaction is to react, right, to the circumstances that we see. But it's up to us to respond, right? So that was a big lesson for me. And, you know, it's work. I have to keep working at it because I'm still waiting for the blood work to come in on Friday, right? And so I'm working on it minute by minute just to stand in the truth.
And you know, it's in God's hands, and that's the best hands for it to be in.
Right. I gave it all to him on Friday. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is, you know, something that you've been helping me over the years also to learn. We're always here to help each other, just to remember, you know, not to react, but to respond.
Right.
Within the faith that you and your God will handle anything that comes before you. Because that power that's within you, that's breathing you, that's beating your heart, is unlimited. It's abundant, and it knows how to do all things. And so it's just, it's our job, it's our being to be in tune with that. No matter what comes, what are the circumstances, doesn't matter. We see the truth beyond that, and to be grateful in that.
Yeah. And so, I'm asking my body and the Holy Spirit, because my inner wisdom, my Holy Spirit inside, my spirit knows what my body needs and how to support me. And I'm also asking all of you guys to keep me lifted with positive healing prayers as well. And I will give you guys the praise report after Friday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. No, it's good. So every one of us has something we want to manifest. It's in your vision statements. It's in your dreams.
Yeah.
It's in your goals. And there is a frequency of thinking that opens up the capacity that's in you by your nature. By your nature, because of the source that you came from, to create a life you want. That frequency is gratitude. It lifts you to a higher order. You can be the one who is in charge of your destiny. And the frequency that helps guide that ship is gratitude. And so it's a beautiful lesson, a beautiful discussion to end our month in manifestation. And let's continue with the implementing of the practice of gratitude each morning. Write 5 things you're grateful for. Each evening, review it. Review the list. Add to it if you'd like. And even more importantly, and Daryl's is demonstrating this, is be a person of gratitude. Consciously express gratitude to someone each day this week. Be that person of increase. Be that person of gratitude. And people feel that. People feel that. And just by you walking into a room, you change the options of the people around you. You give them more of life. You give them more options of increase in life. And just by being that person of gratitude. And so, even Jesus, taught us that. He sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so, the Holy Spirit can clothe us. So if we're in gratitude, we're being clothed by that essence. And being clothed by that essence, we become that person that, it's like Peter said to, somebody was begging, and he said, I don't have money, but what I have to give, I give you freely. And he's a person of gratitude, he's a person of increase, just by being in that vibration. So it's a perfect lesson, perfect modeling of how we should live, to live in gratitude. So next week we are stepping into the mastery of love. And we're looking forward to that. And so anybody have any closing comments before we wrap up this week's call? So keep walking, step to step, blessing to blessing. Like the scripture says, it says our steps are guided by the Lord. And so in that scripture, in those words, is motion. There's movement. We're not sitting in a cave and meditating. We're taking personal action. So I invite everybody to continue taking steps toward your dream. Take the action steps. Take the personal action. Go to the edge of the light that you see. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to see it all. Just keep moving in that direction. Keep being that person of gratitude. Keep being that person of increase. And keep living that life you would love to live.
Thank you for a wonderful lesson and discussion.
Yeah, it was a great call, and I really needed it. And I just love you guys, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, me too.
For all
me
of
too.
You.
I love everyone.
Yeah, thank you. It was very good.
Yeah. So next Thursday is the 2nd, May 2nd. And so we will start the month of May in our exploration of love.
And give your beautiful wife our love, Daryl.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, that's her name, right? You said her name is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, guys. I love you all. And we'll have a great week. And you know, start listening to the meditation on love, and take a look at that, and then we'll open up the discussion again next week.
Awesome.
Very good.
Thank you.
Right, guys. Enjoy. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bye.